We're holding on the top of Vav Amud Aleph. We're in the middle of discussing the question: if a person is choshed on mammon, he's choshed on stealing or withholding or whatever money, does that also make them choshed on a shvur or not? So we were saying that no. We said Rabbi Yochanan had said the purpose of the shvur in our Mishnah, the Shnayim Mechzim Batalis, is even though we have reason to suspect that one of them may be grabbing a hold of the talis where he shouldn't be, nevertheless, we make him take a shavua just because he's choshed on mammon doesn't make him choshed on a shavua. So we've been starting to discuss that point, whether in fact that's the case, that just because a person is choshed on mammon, he's not choshed on a shavua. And we've tried to bring different examples, and we said not necessarily in those cases is he really choshed on money. In the case of Moed B'Mikzas, in the case of, and then in the case of a shomer with a pikadon, etc. Each of those cases, we can say he's not truly trying to actually steal the thing. He's trying to stall for time or various things like that. So talk of Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara continues. The Ella Hoda Amud of Nachman. Okay, here's another proof. How about this that Rav Nachman says Mashbiya Nosis Shavuos Heses? Whereas we said before that even in cases where a person is not chayav shavua on a daraisa level, for example, kofar hakol, Rav Nachman still says that he swears Shavuos Heses a shavua drabanan. So if you're going to tell me that if you're going to tell me that choshed amamona is choshed ashvuasa, then nema nigger de choshed amamona choshed ashvuasa. Wouldn't we have to say that since he's choshed on money, therefore he's also choshed on a shvua, and therefore there'd be no room for shvuas hesis? And the fact that Rav Nachman doesn't do that tells us that in fact our initial assumption was correct. A person who's choshed on mammon is not necessarily choshed on swearing falsely, because as we said, a shvua is a very serious thing, and he's going to stay away from that. And that may even we're talking about again, as we learned in Tosfos yesterday from Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid, we're talking about he may not have even we're not even sure whether he stole, and therefore through the shvua that may prevent that may hold him back from doing the gezel altogether. Anyway, so that would be a proof that would be a proof that nigger the choshed amamona is not choshed ashvuasa, because otherwise there'd be no room for the takana of shvuas heses. Tosfos actually points out that the fact is that can't you also say even if he's a kofar hakol, you could still say like we said before mishtamet that he's only trying to stall for time and evade by being kofar hakol. But Tosfos says though no, because it applies even for example the guy is actually holding the thing right now and the other guy says this thing is yours, he's still a kofar hakol, there's still a shvuas heses, even though there's no mishtamet, even though there can't be any there can't be any that he's trying to evade it over there. And Tosfos discusses that a little bit once we say that he swears the shvur, even when there is the possibility of mishtamet, then we're saying that even when there isn't, nevertheless, we still have shvur assesses. V'tu, and here's another one. Hodetoni Rabchia. Rabchia taught a braisa that in the case of chenvoni pinkose that we learned about on Beis on the Beis and Gimel Amud Aleph, where again you have a balabas had told his workers, go to Pliny's store and he'll give you food and I'll and put it on my bill and I'll pay him afterwards. And later on, the storekeeper claims that he gave them and the workers claim they never received it. So we said both of them have to swear in each other's presence, and then the balabas pays both of them. So the Priya had taught that Shneim Balabais, they are also the same thing. Name a migger de choshed and a mamona choshed ashvuasa. Wouldn't we have to say, if we were to say that when a person is choshed on money, he's choshed on a shvua, then we would have the same problem over there, because how could we make both of them take a shvua? We had what Ben Nanas had pointed out on Beis Amud Beis, that inevitably one of them is a shvuas shav, and therefore we shouldn't have them swear at all. But leaving that aside, the Chachamim aren't concerned about that point. But even according to them, if we were to say that choshed on mamona is choshed ashvuasa, necessarily one of them is choshed on mamon. How can, because obviously one or the other of them has to be lying, so how could we allow him to take a shvura? That demonstrates that even when a person is actually choshed on mamon, that's not enough to be choshed him on swearing a false shvura. Rashi, by the way, wonders. I mean, this thing, this chenvani up in Kosei is a Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos. Why is the Gemara quoting it as Toni Rabchia, that Rabchia taught a Braisa, when in fact it's an actual Mishnah over there? Tosfos answers, because if you look in the Gemara there in Shavuos, it comes out that Rav Chiya had taught the Braisa, and it was as a result of that, as a result of what Rav Chiya explained over there, is why Rebbe composed a Mishnah that says that point. So therefore, so it's usually we have the Mishnayos come long before Rav Chiya, and many of them actually go back long before Rebbe as well. And then later on, Rav Chiya wrote Braisas to clarify them. Here, it's a rare example the other way around. Rav Chiya composed his Braisa first, and then as a result of that, a statement was put into the Mishnah following that. So therefore, the Gemara can be referring over here to the Braisa. Anyway, so there's another proof that Migud Choshed HaMamoina is not Choshed HaShavuasa. The two, and here's another one, Hod Amr of Sheshes. We have what Rav Sheshes says about a shomer chinam who claims that the thing was stolen. And Rav Sheshes says, Sholish shvuos mashbiyanoisei. We make him take three shvuos. Actually, on the side of here, it says that a number of rishonim have the girsah of nach. Anyway, you make him take three shvuos. Shvuos shalit pashaitiba. First of all, a shvur that I wasn't pesheya, because if he was pesheya, if he was careless with it, then he's going to be chayev for anything that happened to it. The second shvur shalashalachti boyad, that I did not misuse it, use it to do my malacha or whatever. If he did, then he would be a gazlan, and then he'd be chayev in all einsin. Then we wouldn't say anymore he has the rules of a shomer chinam, where he's potter from almost anything. If he's shaleach yad, then he becomes chayev in almost everything. Then becomes chayiv actually in everything. Anyway, so that's the second shvur. And the third one, shvur she'ena b'rishusi, that it's not actually in my possession, because as we learned yesterday, you have the concern otherwise that he may try to keep it himself and figure, listen, I'll claim that something happened that made me chayiv in it, and I'll pay the owner at some later point or whatever, and I'll keep it for myself. As we learned yesterday, he's over on loy sachmod, but people don't realize that. Anyway, therefore, we make him take a shvur that's not in my rishus. Neima, again, if we were to say that Choshed HaMamoina is Choshed HaShavuasa, at least when it comes to the third Shavuah, Shavuah She'ena B'Rishusi, we were doing that to forestall any possibility that he may hold on to it himself. Neima, wouldn't we have to say Migud Choshed HaMamoina, Choshed HaShavuasa? If we're Choshed him on money, that he might keep this money or this object that doesn't belong to him and falsely claim that it was stolen, then we should be Choshed him on a Shavuah as well and not allow him to swear. The fact that we don't do that, Ela Lo Yamrin, Migud Choshed HaMamoina, Choshed HaShavuasa, therefore, that's another clear proof that we don't say that. So we have a number of proofs in the end that we say that we don't say migur de choshen amamona choshen ashvuasa. So that's how it is. When we know a person is a gazlan, as in the case of the shepherd that we had yesterday, where there were edim that he ate two of the animals that he was supposed to be watching, then we can't trust him with a shvua anymore, until we know he does truva. And how a gazlan does truva is another matter. The Gemara discusses that in Sanhedrin. But if he's only choshed on mamon, that doesn't automatically make us be choshed him on a shvur, and we can still have him take a shvur and based in, and therefore that goes with what Rabbi Yochanan had said, that we can make the guy swear because we're concerned that he might be grabbing the talus when he's not supposed to. Even though that makes him choshed on mamon, it's still not enough to prevent us from making him take a shvur, and therefore we'll have him take the shvur. And that way, if he is actually lying and he is actually trying to steal it, then that will dissuade him from trying to do that. Okay. Abaya gives a different reason. No, the reason for the shvua in our Mishnah, Abaya says, is not because, as Rabbi Yochanan had said, shalo yehi kolachem v'achad hoikev v'toylech v'toykev v'talisa shohaveri. And then that leads us to say that just because he's choshed on mammon, he's not choshed on a shvua. Abaya says, no, actually, you could say that, in fact, if in fact we have concern that he was grabbing the talus illegally, he would be choshed HaShavuasa. All the proofs that we brought before wouldn't follow necessarily according to Abaya. But rather, Hashinan Shem Milva Yeshana Yeshle Olav, rather the reason is we have to be concerned that there was an old debt that he owes him. Meaning, in other words, so what happened? So years back, Reuven had lent Shimon money, and Reuven knows that Shimon has long since forgotten about it. So if he goes to Shimon and says, where's the money that you owe me? Then Shimon is going to say, I don't know what you're talking about. So now Reuven sees an opportunity. He sees that Shimon is holding on to a talus. So he grabs on to the talus, claiming that he owns half of it. And that way he'll be able to collect his debt. So So Rabbaya is saying, therefore, that you can't say if he's definitely choshed on Mammon that he's not choshed on a Shavua. In fact, he is. But rather, in this case, so the last couple of proofs that we brought from the Gemara, we can also say that there might be a Milva Yashana Olav. That therefore, so for example, when we have the case of the Shomer who wants to hold on to the thing, and therefore we make him take a Shavua, Shaina Birshusa, same idea. There may be a Milva Yashana, there may be some old loan that he knows that he lent the guy years back and he's long since forgotten, and therefore now he grabs his opportunity to do that. So therefore, again, so Abaye is going to say, in all those cases, you have that consideration, and therefore that's why we make him take a Shavua. But not that if we knew that out of the blue he's coming and grabbing the other guy's talus, that we should allow him to take a Shavua. Abaye says, no, we can't do that. So the Gemara says, yeah. So the Gemara says, Ihochi. Well, if that's so, if that's the concern, Nishko below Shavua. Well, in that case, then we should allow him to take it without a Shavua. After all, if according to Abaye, whenever he's grabbing onto the talus, there's kind of raglayim ladover. We have a logical basis to assume that he wouldn't have grabbed the talus without having a reason, without having a milva yashana. Well, then in that case, you should be able to take it without a Shavua. And the Gemara answers no. We change it a little bit. There may be a suffix of an old milva. So Reuven himself is not actually certain that Shimon still owes him money, but he's thinking that maybe he is, and therefore he's grabbing a hold of the talus, and because of that suffix, and therefore that would be a reason to make him take a shvur. So the Gemara says, "Balava min and tofis mamoni misfeka." Okay, so what are we saying? He might be tofis the money because of a suffix. Mishtaba nami misuffik. Well, then in that case, how is him taking a shavua going to hold him back? He's going to go and swear, and he's going to go and swear because of the same suffix. So how is telling him he has to swear? The whole point of the shavua, as we said, was to prevent him from stealing something that's not his. Well, if the whole thing in his mind is only a suffix anyway, and he's willing to go so far as to grab the other guy's talus to satisfy what a debt that might or might not be, well, then he's going to do the same thing when it comes to a shvur. No. And the answer is, Amr of Sheshes, Beredit of Idi, no. Paushi ini mis suffix shvur, but like paushi mis suffix mamona. People will stay away from a suffix of a shvur when they have a shvur, when they have a case where they're not sure about what it is that they're swearing about, they're more readily going to say, well, I'm not going to take the shvur in that case. Well, like parashim is suffik mamona, but not to stay away from suffik mamona. So vaday mamon, where they know it doesn't belong to them, yeah, your average person is not a gazlan, they're not going to do that. But where it's suffik, then, and if he doesn't, Rashi adds, then in fact, Abaye will say he is choshur on a shvur. But when it comes to a suffix moment, people are not going to hold back. They're going to say, you know what, I'm going to take it just on the chance, my time. And the difference is, momen isi b'chazara. Because with money, you can always return it. If he finds out later that, in fact, Shimon had paid off the debt or never borrowed in the first place or whatever it is, then, okay, no problem. I'll return the talus, no harm, no foul. So he won't. So he'll think to himself to begin with, let me grab the talus in the first place. Maybe Shimon does owe me money. When we come to Beis Din, then Shimon may remember something along those lines. And then, good, I have myself a half a talus in payment of a debt, which I wasn't even sure that I was owed. And if not, then if I have to return it to him, then fine. I haven't lost anything, but I haven't gained anything, but I haven't lost anything. Shavua, less of a chazara. But once there's a shavua, once he said a shavua, there's no taking it back. Therefore, he's going to be more careful in the first place not to take a shavua where there's a concern that it might actually be a false shavua because, in fact, the guy doesn't owe him money and therefore he doesn't own half the talus in the first place. So that would explain the difference. So even a point. So we have two reasons in short for the shavua in the Mishnah. We have Rabbi Yochanan's reason that we don't want people randomly grabbing other people's talus, which means Rabbi Yochanan saying, even if we do have, even if there is a concern that he's grabbing it for no reason, nevertheless, we can make him take a shavua because choshed amamoina is not choshed ashavuasa. On the other hand, according to Abaye, if we had any reason to suspect that he's taking it without any reason at all, we wouldn't allow him to take a shavua. But the consideration is in this case and each of the other cases that we brought before, as far as Koifer Hakel and as far as the Shomer and so on and so forth, each one we can say there might be a suffix milva yashana, and therefore making him take a shavua will make him hold back that he's not going to take a shavua where there's a suffix because he's concerned about the repercussions. The Ran actually points out in that case, on the face of it, and there's in the end, what's the nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Abaya? Every single case where you could say that choshen amamoina, choshen ashvarasa, Abaya can say he's not choshen amamoina because there may be old choivus involved. So the Ran explains that, let's say, for example, you could have where previously Reuven, in the presence of Edim, was moichol Shimon any old debts that he owes him. The Ran doesn't mention, but you could also have, let's say, for example, that Shemitah has passed and then Reuven didn't make a prosbul, and then all the debts are forgiven. So now, therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it doesn't matter. According to Abaya, since there's no concern of old debts over here, then therefore we wouldn't allow him to swear. And then the Nesivus talks about it, that after all, you could have, he forgot about one particular debt, and it would be Mechila Batos. So it comes out, according to the Nesivus, there may not actually be a Naftamina Lahalacha between the two. Okay. Next, Boy Rab Zera. Rab Zera asks the question as follows. Talk for Echad B'Faneinu Mahu. What would happen if before they swore, you have Shnayim Ochsim B'Talis, one of them in our presence in front of Beis Din grabs the entire talis away from the other before they actually swore? So Mahu, what would be the din? Now we're talking over here about taking place before in front of Beis Din. What happens if it's not in front of Beis Din? In front of Edim, then you have different Rishonim that discuss what the din would be, whether the various possibilities that the Gemara brings up over here, as far as the fact that he didn't yell out, whether that means anything. On the one hand, we could say that he's only going to do that in front of Beis Din. On the one hand, we could say, as the Gemara is going to say, he's going to figure the Chachamim saw what just happened, and they were going to do something about it. On the other hand, we could say that on the contrary, when there's no Beis Din, he has all the more reason, he has less reason to call out, because then he's going to go to Beis Din and there he'll make his claims. So you have different Rishonim and Achronim discuss that. But anyway, here we're talking about, it was in the presence of Beis Din. So Reuven and Shimon come into Beis Din holding the talis, and Beis Din is getting ready to have them swear. And before they have a chance to swear, Reuven grabs the talis and now is completely holding it, and then is completely holding it. Do we still say the din of our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Hechi Domi. Well, what's exactly the case that Rav Zera is asking about? Ida Shosik. If afterwards Shimon is quiet and doesn't say anything, so of course there's no shvur. Oiduya oidile. Implicitly, he's moida to him because he didn't say anything. The idikat savach, and if we're talking about that he's yelling out, how can you take that from me, etc. My havelah the mabed. Well, then what do you want from him? What else could he have done? Of course, there's no haidah, so then it should still be considered that they're each holding on to half the talis, and of course we go and have them swear like before. So what is Reb Zera's question? The answer is, yes, but the case where Reb Zera needed to ask the question is the shosik me'ikra of a hodrik savach, is where first he was quiet and then he yelled out. What exactly we mean by first and later on, there you have different Rishonim again discuss how long is considered me'ikra and how long is v'soif. The Ritva says me'ikra would be while the guy is grabbing it, and then savach would be right after it was grabbed out of his hand. Then he brings from the Ra'a, who says that the Ikra would be at the beginning and the Seif would be at the end, when the guy is still on the verge of grabbing it out of his hand, when it's both biyada. And he says, no, I mean, then in that case, how is he supposed to know in advance that the other guy is going to completely manage to grab it away from him? So therefore, he prefers the explanation. And the Rashba also says that Betchila means while the guy is grabbing it, and the Seif means right after that. So right after it left his hand, only then he yelled out, rather than while the guy is grabbing it, then that would be Reb Zera's question. So the question is, is it because he was quiet, then it means implicitly he was moida that it does belong to the other guy? Or maybe now that he's yelling out, then that tells us that when he was quiet to begin with, while the guy was trying to grab away the talus, it's not because he was moida. Sovar, it's rather because he figured, after all, look, the chachamim of the Beis Din see what's going on over here. So they should be doing something about it. So therefore, only when he sees after a second or two that he sees they haven't reacted and they haven't done anything, then he's going to start yelling. So that would mean that to begin with, if he had known while it was happening that they were going to start preventing him, then they're going to do something about it, then he would have yelled right there. So therefore, maybe the fact that he was quiet during the grabbing itself doesn't show that he was moida. The Ran discusses this a little bit and says that, listen, what you have over here is you have a suffix of Hoda, but after all, to begin with, you have a suffix of whether he owned the talus in the first place. So one suffix can kind of cancel out the other, maybe. That's Reb Zeta's question. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Nachman Toshma, Bamedvar Mamurim, a Braisa says, when do the dinim of Or Mishnah apply about that each one swears and takes and gets half the talus? Sheshneim Adukin Ba, only when both of them are holding on tightly to the talus. Aval hoise talus yotzes tachas mitachas yodish al echad mehen. But if the talus is in the hands of only one of them, meaning in other words, in front of Beis Din, we see that only he's holding it. Hamotzim mechaver alavaraya. Then the other one. If the other one wants to claim that he owns part of the talus, then you have the usual rule of hamotzim mechaveri, and then there's no shul. So we have to consider. So Rav Nachman is saying, now let's consider, what does the Braisa mean? Does it mean exactly what it sounds like, that Reuven and Shimon walk into Beis Din, Reuven exclusively is holding the talus, Shimon starts telling Beis Din, yeah, but that talus is half mine, and Reuven and Beis Din is going to tell him, Motzi Mechavei Elavaraya? Pshita, obviously, that's the way these things work. You don't need the Braisa to tell us that. Ella, Shetokva Echad Befanenu. Obviously, then, says Rav Nachman, we have to be talking about that he grabbed it in our presence. So exactly the case that Rav Zeira is talking about, where they come into Beis Din both holding it, and now in front of Beis Din, where one of them, Reuven, grabbed it away from Shimon, and now we're saying again, if Shimon is quiet the whole time, then it means he was moida, and if he's tseveach, he's yelling out the whole time, it means he's not moida, and therefore the Braisa would be saying exactly our case over here, where shosak ulvasoif tzava. So therefore that would answer the question. And Gois HaGrua points out also, based on Rishonim, that actually in the same way, if he's shosik, if he's quiet, then afterwards, whatever rias he brings aren't really going to help. So therefore we have to be talking about that exactly that the shosak all of a sudden tzavach, that he's quiet, and then he yells out and starts bringing his rias and whatever, and that would be exactly Reb Zeira's case. So the answer is loy, not necessarily. Hochab Mayaskin, and because instead you could say that the Braisa is talking about a different case. We're going to also come on Kedifisulo Tavayu. Yeah, we're talking about both of them walking to Beis Din, both holding it. But the difference is we have them take the Shavua and Ramunin Lohu Zilu Ploigu. So we tell them, listen, you've both taken your Shavua, She'en Leva Pochas Mechetzia, and the whole Nusach that we learned yesterday. So now, we based and tell him, Zilu Ploigu, okay, go divide it. Go work it out among yourselves exactly what you're going to do with it. Or are you literally going to divide it in half? Or are you going to sell it and split the money? Or are you going to take turns wearing it, etc.? And they go out of Beis Din. Then they walk back into Beis Din, and now only one of them is holding the talus. So that could be the case that the Braisa is talking about. Because what happens now when they come back into Beis Din? Hi, Omer Oduya Oduli. So Reuven, who's holding on to the talus, says, well, it's very simple. We left Beis Din. Shimon outside of Beis Din admitted that he was lying, and in fact, he doesn't own any part of the talus, and he was loaded to me, and therefore that's why I have it. But hi, Omer, whereas Shimon says, no, but Dome Agauti Niale. No, what I did was I figured, listen, what am I going to do with half a talus? So I rented it to him with money. So that could be the case the Braisa is talking about. Now, what does the Braisa mean when it says Hamotzi Mechaver Elavaraya? Because Damin and Lay, we tell Shimon, we can't believe you that's actually what happened. Ad Hashta Chashta Slave Gazlan. Up until now, you've been suspecting that he's a Gazlan, and therefore you've been taking him to Beis Din and making him swear that he owns not less than half of it. And after all, you claim to begin with you claim that it was all mine, and you were, and then therefore you were saying that his claim is false. And now all of a sudden you went out of Beis Din and you're willing to rent it to him without even aiding. Can't be. Therefore, that would be the case. The Braisa is not necessarily talking about the case where everything is going on in front of Beis Din. And he grabbed it, and there was Shosak Losayf Tzavach over there. But rather, we'd be talking about with this case over here, where they left Beis Din, and then he comes back in, and only one of them is holding the talus. So we tell him, you want to still claim that it actually belongs to you, and you rented it to him. That's not a believable claim. And Tosfos also adds, there's no migui over here that he could have said he grabbed it from the outside Beis Din, because that would be what's called migui b'makom edim. effect. Where, on the other hand, when they come into Beis Din, we are Edim, that he's holding on to the whole thing, and therefore, we're going to tell him a motzi mechavela barai. So that could be the case. The Braisa is talking about, in which case, then the Braisa is not necessarily addressing Reb Zera's question. The Iboy Seima, or here's another example you can talk about. Kidkatoni, the Braisa could be exactly the way it says, that we have one of them holding on to it, and we're saying that the other one, Hamotzi Mechavela Varaya, we said, isn't that Poshut? Obviously, if he walks in holding the talus exclusively, then it means it belongs to him. Because we can say like this, they come into Beis Din, one of them is actually holding on to the talus, the other one is only trying to grab a hold onto it. He's not actually holding on half. He's trying to grab an edge of it or something. The Rambam phrases it like he's grabbing on, let's say, to the fringes that hang on the end of it or something. So then the Braisa is saying that's not counted for anything, and the first one is the one who's muchzik in it, and the other one would be a motzi mechavela barai. Because v'afilu l'sumchus d'alam moment on multiple suffolk chokin b'lo shvura, even we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, and we learned previously in Bava Kama, that according to sumchus, when you have suffolk between two people, and they divide it up without it, and they don't take a shvura, and as we learned on Beis on the Beis, we said there's a drada de mamoina, where there's a, as we said, there's a, the each one has, each one is going to lose out something if we split it between them, or there's an inherent suffolk in their claims, etc., as we discussed on Beis and Beis, the various definitions of Dura de Mamayna. Anyway, even according to Sumchos, who says that there's a case where you divide it without a shavur, nevertheless, Moida Sumchos de Sircha Lav Klumi, even Sumchos is going to agree that just trying to grab a hold of is not considered anything. And therefore, that the first one, the one who's actually properly holding on to the talus, is the muksik. And therefore, if the other one wants to get it from him, then he's going to have to bring a solid raya, not just take a shul. In other words, we're saying that even again, sumchos had said only where there's drora de mamoina. As we said at the beginning of the Masechta, here there's no drora de mamoina, because conceivably both of them might have picked it up at the same time, or both of them might have given money to the storekeeper at the same time, or the various definitions that we said over there of Dura de Mamona. There's not an inherent suffix over here until they walk into Beis Din, unlike the case of Shoshanoga Chasapora, where there was. But still, the point is, in other words, the Gemara assumed that because he's trying to grab a hold, maybe before he was holding on properly, and therefore it's sort of Dura de Mamona. And we're saying, as it actually says, no, what we have over here is what's called Shur Shochot Lefanecha. There's no actual shechted ox in front of you, meaning, in other words, we have no basis for saying that Shimon was ever holding on to any part of the talus until now, when we see him trying to grab a hold of the fringes or the edges of it or something. And therefore, we have, even according to Sumchos, that wouldn't be the kind of case of Momen on multiple suffolk chokin, and that would be the chiddush of the Braisa, therefore, that we say that that's not considered Momen on multiple suffolk. So therefore, so either way, whether we understand the Braisa that way, or whether we understand it the first way, that means they left Beis Din, and now he comes back in holding it, and he says that he rented it to me. Either way, the Braisa is not necessarily addressing Reb Zera's case, where Shosak al Vasof Tzabach. So now the Gemara is going to get into a related topic, which actually the Rishonim are going to discuss how much of the following sugya. We're going to have several stages in the following sugya as far as where one person does something with the talus, where one person is makdish it, and then we're going to go on and bring proofs from a bechor and from different other cases. At what point in the sugya, it's clear that at some point in the sugya, we're switching from shosak of osayf tzavach, from Reb Zera's question, to something else, because we're going to be talking about cases where there's an inherent suffix in something. We're going to talk about bechor and meiser. But the early cases that we're going to talk about right here in the Gemara, where one of them is Makdishit and so forth, are those also talking about Shosak or Asayf Tzavach, or is the Gemara switching gears and talking about something else altogether? So there's a whole discussion of Rishonim back and forth about that. At what point in the Gemara are we giving up on Shosak or Asayf Tzavach and talking about other cases and just trying to use them to bring a proof to bring a proof for the general din where there's a suffix on the ownership of something. So the Gemara starts off. Im timtzalay matok fa'achad b'fanenu matzinoi sim yaday. If you're going to say that when one of them grabs it out of the other one's hand in our presence, then we don't take it away from him, and we do take it away from him. Matzinoi sim yaday. We do take it away from him because we say because it was in our presence. And again, here you can have. We're talking about that. Are we talking about that Savach the whole time? Or are we talking about that he was yelling out the whole time, showing that he clearly was not Moida? Or maybe are we talking about even when Shosak was Savach, when for a while he was, for a few seconds, he was quiet and then he yelled out? So again, you have part of that discussion of the Rishonim is whether this first case over here is still talking about Shosak. All of a soft tzavach, or whether already we're talking about over here that, or whether we're talking about over here that no, that we're talking about that that the whole time he was tzeveach. Rashi learns that only later on in the sugya are we starting to deal with other cases. So, in fact, Rashi says even later on we're going to have a case of tok for koyin where the koyin takes a suffix b'chor from a Yisrael, and they also Rashi understands that we're talking about that we're talking about savach, that the Yisrael was yelling out and saying that's not a b'chor. So therefore, according to Rashi, up until that point, we're dealing with that suffix, whereas according to other Rishonim, at an earlier stage of the sugya, we're already not talking about. Anyway, so im timtzalay matok fa'achad b'fanenu matzinoi sim yaday. If you're going to say that if one of them grabs it from the other, we do take it away in the presence of Beis Din. We do take it away from him, and we say, each of you take a shvuah, and you'll divide it. Then we have the question. So then we can say, Hikdisha inim kudeshes. Then we can also say, if without grabbing it, he's makdish it, then that would not be valid. That would not be valid hekdish, because a person can only be makdish what belongs to him. And the same way as if he grabs a hold of it, that's not automatically going to make it his. The same way he doesn't have the ability to be machdish it all by himself. So again, Tosfa says we're talking about a shosak or a sof tzavach. Over here, we're talking about that when he was here, the case would be Tosfa says when he was machdish it, the other guy was quiet. Maybe because we could say, does that mean that he actually agreed that it's his and it's his to be machdish, or does it mean he ignored it because he said, look, it's not yours to be machdish. What do I care what you're saying? Then when the gizbar comes to collect it for hekdish, then he starts yelling at. And saying he had no business being machdish in the first place. So that would be, so if we say, again, if we say that grabbing it is not enough to make it his, then we can say that being machdish it, even as Tosfa says, when shosak alotzeif tzavach, is also not going to be enough to make it mekudeshes. But we have to ask, im timtzalay matok fa'echad b'fanenu, ein matzinoi sim yaday, but if we say that if one of them grabs it in the presence of Beis Din, we don't take it away from him, unless, as we said, he's yelling the whole time that it's not his, then we have to ask Hikdisha boy talk from Mahu. What about if one of them were to be machdish it without actually grabbing it? Because the point is, again, maybe he has the ability. Once we're saying that he has the ability to grab it, and we would say that would be reason enough to make it considered his. If Shosak was Soif Tzavach, again, that we would say if the other guy was quiet, then maybe we would say that shows that he was Moida to the one who grabbed it. Well, if instead of grabbing it, he was Makdish it, would the same din apply? Would we say that since he was Makdish it and the other guy was Shosak while he was saying this is Hekdish, then that would be that he was Moida? Or would we say that not? Because like we said before, he would say Beis Din is supposed to be looking and seeing what's going on. And furthermore, Tosfos points out, it's one thing if he's physically grabbing it, he might be Tseveach, but if he's just saying words, the other guy might ignore it. So that's the question. The question is, Kivin de Omamar Amirosala Gavaya Kim Sirosala Hedyadami. We learned this in Kiddushin, that when you say that something is hekdish, that's the equivalent of actually giving it over to a hedyat, the same way as when you have, for example, you give the talus to somebody else and he does hagbah or mashicha or whatever on it, then he's koina. The same way when you say that the talus is hekdish, it automatically becomes hekdish. Therefore, command the talk for dummy. Therefore, we should treat that as the equivalent of grabbing it, because we should say the other guy would realize once Shimon says this talus is hektish, then Reuven should realize right away, wait, that means it belongs to hektish without him doing any maisa with it, I better protest right away to prevent that from happening. So therefore, we would say that if he doesn't protest right away, then it means he's murdering it. Or Joma Hashtami, a loy tokva, or a holy tokva. Or the fact is, he hasn't actually grabbed it. Uchtiv, and after all, the Pasuk says, V'ish Yakdish is basic Kodesh grammar. The Pasuk says, when a person is Makdish his house, then it's Hekdish. And we learn from that, Ma Beise Birshusei Akol Birshusei, that we learned this in Baba Kama, the same way as a person's house is in his possession, so also anything else that he's going to be machdish has to be in his possession. La pokihai deloy b'rishusay, and here it's not in his rishus because he hasn't actually grabbed it yet. So therefore, so that would be the question: Do we say that he has the ability to be machdish it because he would have had the ability to grab it? And we in Beistin would say, since the other guy was shosak while this was happening, then he's moida. Then therefore, even without grabbing it, he has the ability to be machdish it, or maybe not. So the Gemara says, Toshma, we're going to bring a proof from a case that happened. Dahu Masusa, there was a bathhouse. Dahu Minsu Allah Beitre. Two people were arguing about this bathhouse. Hayom Adidihu, Hayom Adidihu. Each one claims that the bathhouse is his. Kom Chadminayo Akisha. One of them went and was Makdish, this bathhouse. Now, Bapashtos, this happened long after Churban Bayis Sheni. But nevertheless, because the people that were the Amoraim that we're going to mention over here, of Hanania and of Oshia, were lived long after the Churban. But nevertheless, he was able. Nevertheless, you can still have a person is able to be machdish something. You have the dinim nowadays when a person is machdish something is you don't have to pay the full value of it to hektish because anyway there's no hektish to give it to. Instead, the Gemara mentions in Erchin you pay a symbolic amount, 4 zuzim for it, and you take the 4 zuzim and throw them in the river or something because they're otherwise also bana, and then it goes out of hektish. Meanwhile, though, this guy went and was machdish it. And therefore, so now again, the question is: Does his hektish of it have any validity? Again, we could be talking about. Are we talking about shosak or soif tzavach, or are we talking about? Tosfos points out actually that with a bathhouse, you have a different point over here. Also, it's karka and karka. Neither one is tosfos in it, unlike a talus where they're both holding on to. So really, the din would be kol da'al and gvar. So again, since kol da'al and gvar, they are also grabbing a hold of it is going to be successful, is going to actually be effective. So maybe therefore you should have the ability to be machdash it. Anyway. So Parashi Minah, Rab Chanina, Rab Oshia, Vachol Rabbanon. So Rab Chanina and Rab Oshia and the rest of the Chachamim were staying away and not using that bathhouse. Because they were concerned that maybe his hektish of it is actually chal, and therefore they're not allowed to have anah from it until he's poyder from hektish. You could talk about, by the way, and Mephoshim do talk about what happens, for example, can he be makdish the half that he's claiming to begin with? So the Meiri says that maybe when they first come to Beistin with the talus, for example, and Zerim Ani Mitzasiyah, the Meiri says maybe the one of them could already be makdish his half, because we already consider as though it's in his possession since he's holding on to it, but maybe not since he hasn't sworn on it yet. So here, by the bathhouse, you'd have the same considerations. Can he be makdish half of it? But here the question is, can he be makdish the other half? So Rab Chananya and Rab Oshia to be on the safe side of staying away. Well, Amalei Rab Oshia l'Rabba. So Rab Oshia says to Rabba, we need to figure this out. We want to be able to use this bathhouse, but we can't as long as there's a suffix. Ki azla kamei d'Rav Chista l'Kafri. When you go to Kafri, which is where Rav Huna lives, and you go to learn Torah by him, to Rav Chista rather, when you go to Rav Chista who lives in the city of Kafri to learn Torah by him, Boy Mine, ask him this question, what's the story? Was the guy validly able to be makdish that bathhouse or not? So, ki also the surah, when Rabba came to surah, when he's on his way to Kafri, so he was discussing with the local Chachamim over there, the question that he's on his way to ask Rav Chista. Omalei Rav Hamnuna must listen. So Rav Hamnuna says, you don't need to ask Rav Chista. I can answer you the question on the basis of a Mishnah. A Mishnah says, Sofik Bechoros, when you have an animal, when you have something that is a Sofik Bechor, now you can have, and that can be Echad Bechor Odom Ve'echad Bechor Behema, whether you're talking about a human Bechor where there needs to be Pidyon Aben, or whether you're talking about a Bechor of an animal, So you could have the case, for example, in the case of an animal, you don't know whether it previously gave birth. Let's say you bought a female animal. You don't know whether it previously gave birth. So now the next baby that it gives birth to might be a bechor or not. In the case of a human being, it actually describes, you can have, for example, that his mother previously miscarried, and you're not sure whether the thing that she miscarried was considered enough of a formed baby for it to be considered that the next one is not a bechor. Anyway, so in both cases, the Kohen has a claim on it, because in the case of a Bechor Behema, when there's a Beis Mikdash, then you give it to the Kohen and he brings it as a korban and then he eats the meat. When there's no Beis Mikdash, he waits till it develops, you give it to the Kohen and he waits till it develops a mum and shechts and eats it. And in the case of Pidyon HaBen, in the case of a human baby, you have Pidyon HaBen, you have five Sloim that you need to give. So the Mishnah says, when you have a suffix, whether with a human baby or with an animal baby, Bein Tor and Bein Tmeim, whether we're talking about Tohar, when it comes to the animals, whether we're talking about Tohar ones or Tomei ones, specifically the one Tomei animal to which Bechorah applies as the donkey, as we say every day in Rabbi Natan's Tefillin. In all those cases, the Mishnah says, "Amotzi mechavel baraya." The one who wants to collect is going to have to bring the proof. Now, on the face of it, all that means is, in other words, so the balabas of the animal is the muchzak. The koyan is the one who wants to be able to get the bechor, or to be able to get, in the case of the bechor in the case of the donkey bechor, he wants the sheep that you give him instead. And in the case of the human baby, he wants the five sloim. So on the face of it, hamotz machavel of araya means no more than that. Just that it means that the koyan is going to have to bring a proof. But on the other hand, the Gemara is also assuming that it means that if the Kohen does get a hold of it, and the Yisrael is, as we said before, Shosik v'hadrat sabach, that he's quiet, and later on he starts yelling out and protesting and saying doesn't belong to you, then the Yisrael would be the Moitz Mechaberet. Again, so Rashi is understanding that at this point in the sugya, we're still dealing with Shosik v'hadrat sabach. A number of Rishonim disagree with that and say at this point we're off the point of Shosak of Asayf Tzavach. We're just talking about a general case of Suffolk. Where here, it's a Suffolk, whether this animal belongs to the Kohen or not. So Hamotzi Mechavel Avaraya cuts both ways. It can mean the Kohen would have to bring a proof to get the five Sloyim or to get the Seir or whatever from Yisrael. And it could be the other way around, that if the Kohen has the five Sloyim or the Seir or whatever, then the Yisrael would have to bring the proof. The Toni Allah, and we learn in a Braisa that whenever you have a suffix of an animal like that, Asurin Begizu Vavoida, that those animals are also the suffix Bechor is also to shear and is also to work with, because it might be a Bechor. And you, in the case of Bechor Behemet Tahurda, it might be Kodshim and you can't shear it and you can't work with it because Kodshim, you're not allowed to do that. Now, on the face of it, when we're talking about a Suffolk Bechor, so what do we mean again? When we said Amotzi Mechavel of Araya, apparently it means that if the Kohen grabs a hold of the animal, we don't take it away from him, because that's the point. In other words, how would the Yisrael be the Motzi Mechavel, right? Who would have to be the one to bring a proof? Would be where, for example, so let's say in the case of Bechor Behemet Tahora, so the Kohen grabbed a hold of the animal and said it's a Suffolk Bechor, so I'm holding on to it until we can figure out whether it's a Bechor or not. And now if the Yisrael wants it back, then he's going to have to bring a Raya to get it back. Maybe eventually he can find proof one way or the other. That's in general, when we have a Suffolk moment, we always have that if a person is Toifus, then we often have. Again, according to Rashi, we're specifically talking about over here about this Shosak of a Seif Tzavach business that we still have, that the Yisrael at first is quiet, which may mean that he's agreeing that the Kohen, that it belongs to the Kohen, but maybe not. And afterwards, he's Tzeveach. Afterwards, he says, wait, you have no business taking it. It's not necessarily a Bechor. According to many other Rishonim, we're not necessarily talking about that. We're not necessarily talking about that anymore. We may already be talking about just a plain case of Suffolk, and the Gemara is just bringing it in as a proof to deal with the case of the bathhouse, where it was a Suffolk, whether he was able to be Makdish. The difference is, in the case of the bathhouse, it wasn't Kaddish before. Here we're talking about, does it have inherent Kedusha in the first place when it's born? So if the Kohen grabs it on the face of it, we're saying, Ein Mitzi Enoisim Yodei. We don't take it away from him. Dikotoni, because after all, the Mishnah says, Hamotzi Mechavel Avaraya. And yet, V'chi Loi Tokvoi, yet we're saying, even and still we're saying, even before the Kohen grabs it, Asurim Begizva Avoida, it's still also to shear and to do work with, showing, in other words, that so showing, in other words, that so it shows that hekdesh is very powerful. The fact that it's suffic hekdesh is enough to make it also in gizav avoda even before the kohen has actually grabbed it. So therefore, so that would show that the answer would be that yes, if we say that tokfei in mitzia miyodei, nevertheless he has the ability to be makdish. So that would answer our question. Then, in the case of the bathhouse and in the case of the talus, even if the guy didn't grab it yet, he would still have the ability to be makdish. And therefore it would work. So that would be the answer. In the case of the bathhouse, we would say yes. Even though they're both arguing over it, neither one has brought his proofs to Beis Din yet that he actually owns it. Or like Tosfos says, it's one of those cases of kol da'alum gvar, and anyway, they have to fight it out among themselves. Now that one of them was makdish it, based on what we're saying, that sounds like he has the ability to. Hekdesh is a powerful thing, and he has the ability to be makdish it, even when otherwise we would have said hamotzi mechavel avara.
The
case is similar, so not exactly similar, because the one with the Hema, that is actually... so the Gemara is going to answer, Rabba. So Rabba answers to Rav Hamnuna, you're trying to bring a proof from the Kedusha of a Bechor? That's not a proof. In fact, you could say that if the Kohen grabbed the animal, you do take it away from him, because you were going to tell him, look, you don't have a proof that it's a Bechor until you actually find proof to that effect. The reason why they're also begizav avoda, dikdusha abomei le'a shiny. It's different. A kedusha that comes on its own. That's inherent. That's inherent as soon as the animal is born. But it's different when you're talking about to be makdish it later on. Does he have the ability? Only on the grounds that he could have been tokif it, not necessarily. So therefore, so Rabba says to Rav Amnuna, not really a proof one way or the other.
Even with the bathhouse,
if
the
Zerov,
the local rub is using it, who did you pay until now money to go inside?
No, so we're saying until now, Rab Chananya and Rab Oshia were using the bathhouse.
Yeah, but who did they pay?
So maybe they paid half to each one, whatever. Maybe until now, whatever. That doesn't really matter. The money could be put in escrow until they decide, until they figure out. I understand. You're saying that whichever one they're paying would. So you could have, let's say, for example, that their father had owned the bathhouse and then he died, and there's a question which one of them was the actual one to yarshin it or whatever. You can have all kinds of different cases. Anyway, Rav Hamnuna is saying you can bring a proof from this case of Suffolk Bechor. Rabbi says that's not a proof. By the way, this whole matter of when a person grabs something, whether he's allowed to keep it misafik, is a tremendously complicated. I mean, here in the Gemara, we're kind of only hitting the high notes of it, but the whole thing, as far as many different details of it, is extremely complicated. And in fact, the Shach wrote an entire sefer on that subject called Tokfei Koyin. He starts off with just such a shayla, that somebody had grabbed something where he's claiming that the other guy owes me money, and is it a valid tfis or not? And then the Shach goes and analyzes this whole sugya and all the opinions of the Rishonim and Uli Achronim about it in tremendous detail, and wrote a sefer of over 100 pages dealing with many different angles of this. And then, of course, Achronim in turn go and then deal with and explain and clarify and argue with and so forth everything that the Shach has to say over there. The Shach himself, by the way, was a Kohen, so the names of at least some of his Sfarim actually have the name Kohen in them. Shach stands for Sifse Kohen. Here we have Tokfei Kohen, so you have at least two Sfarim of his where he actually put the name Kohen into the very name of the Sefer. Anyway, the Shach lived about 400 years ago. So Rabba says to Rav Hamnuna, there's no proof from that case of Suffolk Bechor, because there you have the only reason why Asura Megizav Avoda is because it might have the inherent Kedusha that it had when it was born. It doesn't show that if Tokfei Koyin, that Ein Motzi Enosi Miyodei, maybe in fact we would be Motzi Miyodei, and when the Mishnah says Motzi Mechavel Avaraya, it means the Koyin is always going to be the Motzi Mechavei, and he's the one who's going to have to bring the Raya if he wants this animal as a Bechor. All right, Omalei Rav Chananya L'Rabba. Tanya de Messiah Loch. So Rav Chananya says to Rabba, in fact, there's a brisa that supports your understanding of it, because we have a Mishnah that says, or a brisa rather, that says, Haspekus nichnosen ladirleis aser. When you have suffix, when you have animals that are suffix, we know that all the newborn animals, every year, all the newborn sheep and goats and cows, you have to take mice of behemoth from them So all sfeikas also go into the pen and you start counting them towards ma'aser. Meaning, so Rashi explains further on in the sugya, the Gemara explains, we're talking about over here, these are animals which were sufik pidyon petra chamur. So you have, in other words, you have an animal, you have a donkey, a female donkey gave birth to a baby. We don't know whether that baby is a bechor, because again, we don't know whether the mother had previously given birth. So it's a suffolk bechor. Because of that, you have to give a sheep to the kohen, but it's a suffolk whether you have to or not. So now, when you have animals like that are a suffolk, you still have to count them towards ma'aser b'hem. So Rav Hananya said, "V'isachdadach tokva koyin en mitziyah nois miyadei." Now, if you're going to tell me that if the koyin has the possibility of getting this suffolk b'chor, if he grabs it, then it'll be considered his, and then the other guy will then the yisrael will be the motzi machabel baraya. Am I nechnasan ladir? Why would you bring them into the pen? Why would they count towards ma'aser? Nimtz is a poet of a moinish or koyin. What's going to happen over here? You might have. What if this particular sheep goes out as number 10? It comes out. You're pattering your other 9 sheep from ma'aser behema by using money that may belong to the koyin. So therefore, says Rav Hananya, that's a strong proof to what you, Rabbi, are saying, that if the Kohen grabs it, we do take it away from him. Meaning the Kohen has no right at all because of the suffix to this animal. Well, very well then. It means it completely belongs to the Yisrael, and therefore he can count it as one of his 10 animals from Ma'aser Behema.
If the Kohen grabbed, the Kohen would have it, wouldn't be there.
What we're saying is, what Rabbi is saying, if the Kohen grabs it, we're going to take it away from him and make him return it to the Yisrael. So it's no different, for example, than if somebody had gone and stolen a sheep. Once you get it back from the Ganav, you can count it. The point being, in other words, that before Rav Hamnuna was arguing that maybe that Tokva Koyin ain't Mutsiyan Oisimiyade, that once the Koyin grabs a hold of it, we would say he's now the Mukhsik because of the Suffolk. And therefore, if the Yisrael wants it back, well, in that case, why would we be putting it into the pen as one of the 10 to Maisu? Even before the Koyin takes it, it means the Koyin already has a certain potential ownership of it because he could be Toykef it and be able to keep it. And how can you potter your other 9 animals with something that might be potentially the Koyin's money, the Koyin's possession?
It would go so far in potential.
Yeah. So therefore, Rav Hanani says that's a proof to what you, Rabbah, are saying. But Abaya says no. No, because that Braisa is not really a strong. If you want to bring a Raya to Rabbah, go ahead. But that particular Braisa is not really a strong Raya. Because you could be talking about a case where the person has exactly 10 sheep, and this one, which is a suffix, is one of the 10. So then either way, if this 10th one is also part of the Chiyuv, if it truly belongs to the Yisrael because it's not a Bechor, then Shapu Komaser. Well, then he's properly taking Meiser because there's 10 animals and he's taking one as Meiser. And if this one happens to be the 10th one, no problem. And if he's not chayev, because in fact this one belongs to the Koyin on the basis that, and we're saying that the Koyin might even have the right to grab it and be able to keep it, well then Tishalah Barisunin, you know. Well then he only has 9, so there's nothing to talk about as far as Ma'aser Behema anyhow. So the Brice could be talking about specifically that case, and therefore no proof that if he had 20 animals, that we would say that he could take this one and count it as one of the 20, and it might end up being Ma'aser Behema on behalf of 10 of them. Not necessarily, because the fact is, you do have Rav Hamnuna's point. Koyin has a certain degree of ownership of it, to the extent where if he's tokef it, you can't take it away from him. And therefore, maybe the Yisrael shouldn't be using it as his Ma'aser Behema.
But if you have one of the strikers, can you sort of make sure it goes out 10th one and then get off?
Well, that's no. You can't make sure of anything. You have to let the animals go out naturally. The point is if we were to say that the Yisrael completely owns the animal, then there's no problem in doing that. If we say the Koyin potentially owns the animal and that took the Koyin ain mitziyah nois miyadei, like Rav Hamnuna said, then that's what Rav Hananya had said. Then that would be, how could you use it for Ma'aser Behema? So Abaya is saying, yeah, but you could have the case where he has exactly 10 animals, and the reason you can use it for Ma'aser Behema is because you don't even know whether he's actually chayev in Ma'aser Behema. Does he have 9 animals or does he have 10?
Or if it would be the 10th one, they have the same Kedusha problem.
They do have, that's true. Ma'aser Behema has basically the same Kedusha as Bechor, but that's neither here nor there. The point is that now the guy has pattered himself. He doesn't have to take Ma'aser Behema for these animals ever again. Yeah.
If he had 9, next year you can't take?
No, every year's animals are separate, yeah. Bodur, Omar Abaya, Lav Milsa Hidam. However, then Abaya says, you know what? What I said is not really correct. Disfake a Lav Barisuri. As a matter of fact, a suffolk animal is not one subject to Meiser in the first place. In other words, Abaye is saying, after all, Rav Chananya had a valid point. This braisa about Asfekas Nichnasim Ladir Leisaser is a very good proof for Rav. Because if you have an animal, if you have an animal which is a suffix, whether it's chayev and meiser or not, you would not take meiser misaf. So the fact that we're saying over here, Asfekas Nichnasim Ladir Leisaser, is a strong proof that it means even though this animal is a suffix bachur, nevertheless, the suffix is not strong enough to allow the koyin to take and keep the animal. Therefore, basically, it belongs to the Yisrael, and therefore it can be considered that it's vadai the Yisrael's to the extent where it can be counted as one of the 10 of meiser behem. The Tanan, and Abaye says, because after all, we see a Mishnah says in Masech the Bechoris. Suppose you started counting the animals. Now what happens in the middle? One of the animals you already counted jumped back into the pen, and now you can't tell which one it was. So now every animal that's in the pen might be one of the ones that was counted already, or might not. And the ones that were counted are already potter from Meiser. No, so you don't. So the din is that the din is kofetz echem min aminuyin l'seichan kulan p'turin. All of them are potter now. Because each one might be one of the ones that was already counted. So all of them are potter because it's called minyan harori. All of them, when you were counting them, it was possible to reach 10. Meaning, you have cases it describes in the Mishnayos and Bechoros. You can have, let's say, for example, that you counted 10 by 10 and you gave your ma'aseh behema, and at the end, let's say you have only 8 animals left. So then those 8, you have to save them for the next Gerdan, you know, 3 times a year. When you give Maisa Behema from the animals that were born this year, so you have to save them and see during the rest of the year, you're going to have 2 more animals to take Maisa Behema. But once you have Minyan Harori, let's say, for example, you were counting the animals, and in the middle, once you still had 10 animals in the pen, and let's say while you were counting them, one of them died or ran away or whatever, we say the ones that you counted already are minyan haroi because you would have reached 10 without that, and therefore all of those are potter from ma'aser behem. In this case, you were counting the animals, they're going out one by one. One of them jumps back in. That one was already potter on the grounds of minyan haroi. So now when it's mixed in with all the other ones, then all of them become potter. Tosfos actually wonders why that should be, because on the face of it, Nidaraisa, it should be bottle, but nevertheless, that's how it is. So kofetz echem anuim l'sechem kulam k'turin. If you're going to say that when there's a suffix, whether you own an animal, you have to take ma'aser, then you should have to take ma'aser either way. If this one is not the one that jumped back in, then you're taking ma'aser properly. And if it's not chayev, then the 10 that already went out, for example, the 10 that this one jumped back into, where none of them are mice yet, then they would be potter because minyan aroi, the Amar Rav minyan aroi potter, because as we said, minyan aroi potters, and yet we see that you don't continue mice at that point, you stop there because of the suffix. Ela mai islachamaymar. So what do you have to say? Asuri vade amarachman of layasuri suffix. The Torah says you have to take 10th only when it's certain that it's the 10th, but not the suffix, not when it's a suffix. And that's why minyan aroi poter. Well, by the same token, so for example, Rashi says, let's say the one that was potter came out 5th, then the 10th one that comes out later is not really going to be the 10th, it's going to be the 9th, and therefore that's potter. The same way, when we say over here, the same way, the Torah says, a siri vade, not a siri suffix. So therefore, that means, in other words, when there's a suffix, who owns the animal? So Rav Hanania's proof is a very good one. Because if we were to say that there's a suffix on the animal, then you wouldn't have to be taking ma'aser, then you wouldn't have to be counting it towards ma'aser in the first place. The very fact that the braisa that Rav Hanania quoted says, hasfekas nichnasim ladir lehisaser, that shows the suffix over here is such a weak suffix that it doesn't even allow the koyin to grab the animal and say, look, I'm the muchzik, and now you, Yisrael, are moitz mechavel v'raya. Therefore, says Abaye, that supports Rabba's point, after all, that tokfei koyin mitziyin oisim yadoi, and not like Rav Hamnuna wanted to say that ein mitziyin oisim yadoi, and therefore... And therefore, sort of Hamnuna's proof about Bechoris to use from that as a proof on the case of the bathhouse is not necessarily a proof, because like Rabbi told him, it's different when you have a possible inborn kedusha as a Bechor has versus when you're being makdish a bathhouse. There was a big machloikas we showed him and a big discussion on the point. In the end, who is the halacha like as far as this talk we're going? Motzi enosim yadoi or ein motzi enosim yadoi? Most of the Rishonim learn like Rabba that took the Koyin Metzian Miyode, that we do actually take it away from the Koyin. On the other hand, the Rambam Paskin that in Metzian Osim Miyode, like Rav Hamnuna, and Rishonim and Achronim spend a considerable amount of time discussing where did the Rambam get that from. It really doesn't seem to fit with the flow of the sugya over here. And so the Rashba explains, because after all, the expression Motzi Mechavel of Araya implies that either one could be the Motzi and either one could be all of Araya, like Rav Hamnuna assumed. What about the case of Sveikas Nichnosan Ladirle Sasser? All the Gemara is saying is you can't compare one to the other, but not necessarily does that mean that as far as the matter of Tefisa, that you would say that he can't be Tofus and you would take it away from him, like Rabba says, not necessarily. And there's a lot of discussion back and forth. And again, the Shach Sefer Tokvei Koyen deals with all this in great detail, and other Sfarim deal with all of this and go back and forth and discuss a lot about this whole matter of, in that case, of Metzian Osim Yadoi. So, again, though, most Rishonim do pass them like Rabba, and they say, in particular, anyway, when you have Rabba versus Rav Hamnuna, the halacha is going to be like Rabba, so that's another reason to say that the halacha should be like that. That took the coin, Metzian Osim Yadoi, we do, in fact, take it away from him. We don't allow him to keep it on the basis of a suffix. But again, the Rambam holds differently, and how the Rambam would learn our Gemara is that whole discussion. Anyway, we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with dealing with what exactly are these cases of the Sveikas, and then we'll wrap up this case over here of Tokvei Koyen and the whole business of one person grabbing or being makdish, something that's not certainly that belongs to him, and then we'll continue from there.
But this baby runs back in, it's counting,
runs back in, yeah.
If it dies, I understand, but if it doesn't die... So what's wrong taking all the time together?
No, so the point is that, again, any animal after that is going to be a silly suffix. That was the point, because that was the point that Abaye was making. Because like this, you have this particular one. Next. So listen. So you started counting. You counted, let's say, 8 animals so far.
Now,
at that point, those 8 are potter, because minyan aroi potter, you had at least 2 more in there where you're going to reach 10. Now one of those 8 jumps back into the pen. Now the problem is you have one in there that is potter, but you don't know which one it is. So now when that one goes out, if we're gonna do like you say, you start all over again, the first one goes out. Well, is that really the first one, which is chayev, or is that maybe this one, which is potter? The second one that goes out, is it the first one, or is it the second one? Has that one gone out yet, or has it not? And eventually we're gonna reach the 10th one, and we're gonna have a suffix.
But you'll just erase the holes in this stuff.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. You erase the count and start again.
No, because that's the problem. Because you have one that's potter over here.
You get to the 10th one. It wasn't city.
Because that's minyan aroi potter. The fact that you counted 8 so far, every one of those 8 is now potter, even if the remaining 2 that were in the pen die or run away or whatever. At that point, those 8 are forever potter because you did minyan aroi with them. So therefore, so now if one of those 8, now you have this, if now it jumps back into the pen and you can't recognize it, the problem is every animal that goes out after that, you don't know whether it was this one that jumped back in, and therefore whether it's potter, therefore you don't know the first, the second, the third, etc., whether they're truly the first or second or third, or whether maybe it's the zeroth and the first and the second, and you come to the 10th and you still have the suffix, and the Torah is saying you have to separate asiru yekodesh, implying only when it's vadai, not when it's suffix. That is why we're saying that it's potter. You do have, by the way, the Mishnah in Bechoros mentions another case over there. You have a problem. What if one of the ones that was designated as Meiser jumps back in? Then you have, and you can't recognize it. Then you have a problem because the one that's Meiser has Kedusha and you have to bring it as a Korban. So then you have a different case over there that talks about in the Mishnayos in Bechoros. You are potter from Meiser Behema thereafter. But on the other hand, all the animals that are there in the pen are Suffolk Meiser and you have to deal with them as it says over there. But you can't shear them. You can't work with them. You have to wait till they develop a mum, etc. Yeah, so
yes,
you can't check them because they might be a korban. But if one of the other menurian, if the 7th or 8th or whatever jumps back in, then you've gained because now all the other ones that are in there are potter on the grounds of minyan hara.
But that case would also be.
No, because in the case of the 10th, you also have minyan haroi, but they have a problem that they're all suffering mice.
One
and
jump back in there
with battle. So we said it's about all of them. That's what we're saying. The Gemara over here. Yeah.
That's what I'm asking. The one you just brought down now, about 10 of them.
Same thing. What we're saying is he started out with 10 animals. He started counting in the middle. One of them jumped back in. If that one that jumped back in is not the 10th, then good. Minyan aroi poiter and everything is potter. If the one that jumped back in is the 10th, then you have a problem because now all the ones that are in the pen are suffix meiser.
It can't be.